Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I'm joined with my amazing host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today. We're so thrilled to be here, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about David the Shepherd. And what an amazing thought, Michelle. You know, being shepherded, it sounds so beautiful when we think about it biblically. But in all actuality, I do think that we don't want a shepherd sometimes. We like to be able to guide ourselves.
You're jumping right into it, Jasmine.
And we definitely have some feelings of our own towards being guided. But before we continue, I did want to give you a chance to make some awesome announcements. I really love hearing what's going on with the women in our ministry. And these are great things to invite friends to as well. So what's going on?
They are. Well, Tuesday Connection has already started, but you're not late. You can jump in. We're studying all the I Am sayings of Jesus.
Beautiful.
Which will be a great time come Tuesday at 9:45 in MBCNS. In the classroom there is childcare available.
Great.
And you just register online. Another thing is the Women's Seminar is coming up September 22nd and 23rd,
yes.
Friday night and Saturday day. So much fun. You will love what Julie Lavoie has got planned for you.
Mm.
All our books will be available there.
Wow,
and something new this year, we have journals.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yes, blank journals. These two match our previous books.
Okay.
They're only $5.
I love it.
So, yeah, I'm pitching it. Because what a great Christmas present.
Yeah.
Or a birthday gift. Throw this in.
Yeah.
And a little pretty bag with a bar of chocolate and you're all set.
I love it. What an encouragement to record what you hear that really touches your heart. It's amazing to go back through old sermon notes and just be refreshed all over again or be in a different season of your life where you really need to hear what you wrote years ago.
It's so good.
It's so wonderful.
Now, something new we're doing, we've always prayed for the men's leadership retreat. That starts on October 5th. Men, go online, register. You need this.
Oh.
And us women, we are starting on September 26th, 10 days of prayer.
Wow.
We're going to have 10 Zoom meetings. So come to our Facebook Lift page, LIFT, Ladies in Faith Together, GGWO.
Wow.
So we're focusing all this week on one of the most interesting people in the Bible, and David, the shepherd, warrior, king, and psalmist who had a heart after God.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Come on. We think of a shepherd on a hillside with these beautiful, clean, white, adorable, happy kicking up their heels, sheep, right? So you can, if that's your job, man, you can just lay there, play on your iPhone, sip your iced tea.
If only it was that easy.
Come on, it's got to be.
Well, I think it depends on who you're shepherding because it's amazing how much God offers. It's amazing how much we see so much of the Spirit of God working through David. And even though he declared that whatever the Lord had to say was the final say, he still faced opposition from people, from himself. I want to read a portion of this really quick, Michelle, because it really touched me when I was listening to a 2003 message by Pastor Schaller, and he references an older message of Pastor Stevens. And the name of the message is Leave Your Oars and Let Jesus Shepherd Your Soul.
Oh.
And it's a great charge to us as Christians to remember that in our little boat, which is our life circumstances, we are in the vastness of the river of life. And we don't know which way to direct ourselves. We think we know, but we really don't. And the oars on a boat dictate the way that we go, but we complain about God's timing and God's ways. But he really is the best shepherd for our lives, right? We want to take the oars and say, I don't like where you're going, or God, you're late. I'm ready to move from this place in the river. But by faith in him, we're invited to trust him and go on an adventure. Now, sometimes this uncertainty troubles us, and it certainly troubled David sometimes, right? It wasn't just, oh, Lord, I trust you, and that's the end. Especially as we follow his life from being chosen by Samuel and already being seen as kind of inferior, you know, very young, very inadequate. Those are the kind of things that can follow us as we're trying to let God shepherd us. We can live in this fellowship with our own inadequacies. And sometimes we don't reach the potential that God has for us because we really need to fully break away from the identity that we've built for ourselves and really identify with Christ.
Excellent points. Thank you. Well, David's occupation in his early life as a shepherd is symbolic of the relationship we have with Jesus. Mm. Twice in John 10, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. When the Lord says something twice, pay attention. And like all shepherds, David and Jesus had to put up with the behavior of their sheep, whether the four-legged ones or two-legged ones. I studied this book. Oh my gosh, it was so popular in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Not so much heard of now. It's one of the few perfect books. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. 2 million copies sold.
Okay.
All right. Wow. And I call it perfect because from start to finish, you don't get bored. You don't get lost.
Wow.
It's a tremendous book. You will love it. And it's short.
I love it. I love it. It's short and profound.
You know, 10 chapters, read one a week for 10 weeks. You're a happy girl.
I love it.
And you're going to learn some things. I learned that we are compared to sheep because of these things. We follow others blindly. I read a story of 1,500 sheep jumped off a cliff. The flock got scared. And they can get scared by a thunderclap, a dog barking, something waving in the wind, sheets on the line waving in the wind.
Wow.
1,500 went off the cliff. Only 400 died because those 400 were the cushion for the rest of them.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
That's so much like us, though. Don't we see people and say, well, if she's doing it, I guess this is a good idea. But, you know, what I love about David is constantly when we read about him, he consults the Lord.
Amen.
You know, they have such a personal walk together. And in order for David to be settled in his heart and to know what the next step is, he either references a principle of the Lord that's already been ingrained in his mind and in his soul, or he waits and consults him even through tears, right? Because sometimes there were some really hard moments where he was on his knees and totally acknowledging, being transparent before God that he was in the wrong, but he still wanted what God had for him from that place.
Beautiful. Well, sheep have absolutely no sense of direction.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to get back home like a dog would.
Oh, wow.
They cannot defend themselves. Mm. Not at all. They don't have claws or horns or anything.
Mm.
They get emotional. They get fearful and anxious and afraid.
Okay.
They are happy being filthy.
Oh.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep. They will settle for less. Philip Keller talks about them happy to drink from dirty puddles.
Oh, my
when
gosh.
When a lovely stream is right near them.
This sounds more and more like people as you continue.
And left to themselves, they can absolutely ruin a pasture. You can't, if you have sheep, you have to have land because you have to move them every week.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Isaiah 53 says like all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all.
Wow.
Sheep are like us and they're not meant to carry burdens.
Hmm.
You never see a sheep with a saddle on him.
Oh, never.
Nope. So cast your burden on the Lord, you sheep, and he will sustain you.
Hmm.
One very, very good thing about sheep is that they recognize the shepherd's voice. And
yes.
they will fear a stranger's voice and flee.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus explained this in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing, just looking more and more at David's life and what he's running from, then after he becomes an actual officer, the mercy that he showed towards Saul, even when he had the opportunity, you know, to make sure that he took care of that. And then later, you know, making sure that he honored his promise to Jonathan and he's seeking out Mephibosheth, you know, in Lodabar. And he's saying, even though Mephibosheth's name, it actually means from the mouth of shame. And I just think about that. How many of us feel like, God, I'm not worthy for you to even pursue. And just like David's example, you know, Christ says, you are sitting at my table because I have purposed this, because I have ordained this, and because your identification is not based on what you think about yourself. It's about why I've made you and the decision that I've made to love you. And as I thought about that, I just kept thinking, like, where does this shame come from that we carry? Because it is very natural for us to shun God first, and we need these constant counsels. Really, he's approachable. Really, he desires you. Yes, he knows everything about you, and he still wants you. We constantly need to hear about his love for us to even, by faith, try again through prayer. And in this book, I have a book too today.
Awesome.
This book is called Beyond Bath Time by Aaron Davis. I'm actually rereading it. And it's the subtitle is Embracing Motherhood as a Sacred Role. And inside of the book, there's actually a quote I wanted to read because I think it captures the heart of where a lot of things start in the Garden of Eden. And it says, Eve's mindset was, I want what I want. I want to define how I want it. And I don't want to give God the glory. And this is the whole reason why we need a shepherd, because this is the attitude that lives inside of us. When we realize our own capabilities, when we start comparing ourselves, when we start really just living in our humanity and letting that completely overshadow the supernatural element of God in our life, we become very, very self-focused. And we say, you know, God, I'm going to start looking at you more as somebody who suggests things to me, but not somebody that knows the way. I actually know some things too, God.
Oh, boy.
You know, and that's just who we are. Yeah. And the more we realize who we are, I think the more we realize how much we truly need a shepherd, if we're honest about it.
Very good point. Thank you. Well, in this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he talks about one of his favorite sheep. She was absolutely beautiful, gave beautiful wool, such a big, healthy sheep, lambed year after year after year, had wonderful lambs, but she was a runaway. She was an escape artist.
Oh.
Twice a week, he would find her outside the pasture. He would have to go look for her.
Oh,
and over and over and over again, it was so aggravating. And so, but she taught her lambs how to do this too.
Oh, yes.
And no matter where he patched the fence, she would find another place. And then other sheep started to follow her.
Wow.
Guess what he had to do?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
One day he had to get the killing knife and butcher her.
No.
Yep, that was the only solution. He couldn't even sell her.
Wow.
And that was the end. And there are some things in us that, luckily for us, thank you, Lord Jesus, you don't zap us when we sin.
We think you will sometimes.
We have a program of spanking and correcting that we need to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
But sheep are valuable. As much trouble as they were prized possessions in Jesus' time. You can get meat and milk and wool and the offspring. Hey, they eat noxious weeds, and even their poop is good fertilizer.
Wow.
So they can even restore a pasture if you're careful with them.
Mm.
Are we valuable to God just for more than what we do? Apparently.
Wow.
Right?
That's
because
incredible.
He made a way for us to enter into eternity. He doesn't need us like a shepherd needs his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us.
Yeah. You know, I was just talking about that with a couple of my friends. Recently, I went to the Women's Labor Day retreat in Boiling Springs, and we just are hosted by the Boiling Springs Church. We had such a wonderful time, and it's just amazing, amazing to me how much we can lose contact with the throne of God when we want to put those oars in our hand and say, I don't like being this vulnerable. I don't like not knowing. And that's really what I think it comes down to. A lot of the time, Michelle, like, we have always been fighting for this equality with God. And he wants headship. He wants to be a protector. He wants to be a guide because he knows the way. But there's something in us that just says, nope, I'm going to run away now. Nope, I'm actually going to do this because I think this is wiser. And God is so merciful, you know. Year after year, you know, just like that shepherd, he kept saying, okay, even though this is something I have to deal with, I still want her here. But then I love what you said also about the negativity that was being spread.
Mm.
What kind of example am I projecting onto others if I walk around saying, okay, Lord, you know, you are my shepherd. But then I kind of have these pockets in my life where I like to deviate. And I just kind of say, okay, Lord, bless my decisions, you know, rather than, Lord, what should my decision be?
Sure.
You know?
Let's turn perspective here. We know sheep are valuable. We are valuable to God. Are shepherds valuable?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the night that Jesus was born, it's incredible that the angels came to the shepherds. Shouldn't they have gone to the temple?
Mm.
Shouldn't they have gone to the priest's house, even a Pharisee's house? No. They went to the shepherds, and shepherds were generally considered unclean all the time in the community of God. They're in daily contact with dirty, smelly sheep, their blood, manure, insects buzzing around. Shepherds were almost never clean enough to worship in the temple. They were generally treated as outsiders. When Joseph's family comes to Egypt, Joseph tells his brother to tell Pharaoh clearly that they are shepherds so that they would be kept apart. They could go live in Goshen. They wouldn't mix in with the Egyptian society. He did that for their protection, his family's protection. But he gave them a key to the Egyptians' mindset when he said in Genesis 46:34, "For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians."
Wow.
Well, if Egypt is a type of the world system and shepherds are a type of pastors, is it any wonder that to the world system, every pastor is an abomination?
Wow. Wow, what an amazing parallel. My goodness.
Incredible, huh? So I think October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
It is,
so
yes.
So please pray for... Pray with us as we pray for our pastors. Yes. Pray for that retreat. David was anointed in 1 Samuel 16. He was actually anointed three times. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Not that it didn't take, but not everyone recognized the anointing on his life. So Samuel goes to Bethlehem to anoint a new king. God sends Samuel not even knowing who it's going to be, and Jesse parades his sons, the firstborn, Eliab, tall, dark, and handsome, and God was like, no, no, no. Finally, Samuel cries out, "Are these all your children?" And he says, "Well, there's one more," and he keeps the sheep. Apparently, this was the dirty job of the family.
Yes, I was going to say, I love how we kind of see a little glimpse of the tone of insignificance here, you know, and God had such an amazing plan. And it's like, well, you know, if you want to see this son, you can. And, you know, God is like speaking so, so strongly to Samuel. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. Follow my leading.
Beautiful.
You know?
Now, the Bible says he was ruddy, tanned, healthy, of a beautiful countenance, handsome, and godly. Goodly. That means congenial. So tanned, healthy, handsome, and congenial. Well, this is lovely. And he's anointed king. Okay, great. But Saul has not abdicated his throne.
I was like, well, some opposition is coming. Because...
What do you think his reaction? If Herod wanted to kill Jesus, the newborn king, what do you think Saul's going to do? Well, exactly the same thing.
Right.
How long do you think David's going to wait?
Right.
He's probably about 15 now that he's anointed king. How long do you think he's going to wait?
I don't know. I mean, I know that he was always throughout the position that, you know, he had been anointed through. He always had this really sweet regard for Saul, even as Saul was repeatedly trying to kill him, repeatedly, you know. And at first, you know, they kind of had this friendship until David kind of pushed a button. Oh, you're going to get praises and singing from people? That's what I like. That's how I validate myself. So now you're the problem. You're in the way. And we are not friends anymore.
It was
fine
until they started playing that song on Spotify. And it just went viral. And they just didn't stop. Well, 2 Samuel 5:4 says he was 30 when he began to reign over the divided kingdom. He waited 15 years.
Yeah, because there's so many instances of this is the way he tried to kill me. Then Jonathan tried to protect me. Then there were moments when, you know, he was able to take care of it himself. And he just kept thinking about the Lord's mercy. I love how he kept saying, "I shall not touch the Lord's anointed one." Like he still had this regard for God never makes mistakes. So even though he has ruined his position, this was still God's intention. And God originally created this position. So I'm going to honor that because I honor God above myself, no matter what I face.
Isn't that incredible?
Awesome.
Well, as being used as a psalmist, when Saul was going out of his mind and looking for someone to play music, the servants report in 2 Samuel 16:18, "I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in manners, a comely person, and the Lord is with him." How is that any way observable
I know.
About this shepherd. Who is, I think it's the Holy Spirit there.
Yes, yes,
saying,
absolutely.
You know, this is positional truth mm-hmm. about this young guy because mm-hmm. he's still a kid.
Yeah.
So we've got to relax. The Holy Spirit will reveal our yeah. gifts and yeah. talents. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of Luke 2:52 when Jesus came back from the temple after being quotation marks lost, okay, what his parents interpreted. He came home, submitted to his parents, and he increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and
wow.
man.
Wow.
So more parallels between these two shepherds.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually think there's a really cool parallel too, Michelle, between the attitude of Saul and the attitude of David, because they both come from these humble beginnings, even though we know Saul came from this influential family. You know, the first thing he says when Samuel spoke to him is, but I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. This is the smallest tribe. Why would you be talking to me like this? You know, and then here's David. He's also the youngest. Everybody looks over him and says, well, clearly you're meant to do what you're doing. And your brothers over here are the ones that are really going to be achieving, you know, great protection for the land, things like that. Mm. But I think that there's a little bit of this battle that is going on in all of us. We all have a little Saul in us. And
sure.
then David kind of reminds us that we have this potential. But to level it out, you know, God continues to show us throughout David's life, okay, I love David. I am shepherding David. David is truly mine. But David is not perfect. So we look at these men that have these similar backgrounds, and it was really interesting to me, you know, the responses, because when Samuel first spoke to Saul, he's stepping back and the first thing he starts mentioning is all of his inadequacies, all of his insecurities. I didn't see any of that when we were looking at 1 Samuel 16, when David was anointed, he just received it. He received who Samuel was. He received what was going on. And even though there was so much to come, there wasn't the same response, you know. And I just think about that. I think about the fact that we can all be like Saul and say, wait a minute, Lord, surely you're not talking to me. And then we can live in that and we can still be holding on to what this person thinks, what this person thinks. And then we see how in 1 Samuel 15, that got Saul into trouble. God was very clear with him. I want you to completely destroy the Amalekite nation. And what did Saul do? He said yes. And then using his own judgment and listening to the words of those around him, he said, well, I'll just capture this king and I'll keep the best of the sheep. I'll keep the best of the cattle. And he didn't even see it as disobedience, you know. And Samuel said, what have you done? Mm. What have you done? You know,
yep.
And we're like that. We take yep. what God says and then we say, I'm going to hold on to the parts that I think make sense, even when God has clearly spoken, you know. And then there were other times in David's life where he needed the clarity and he would say, wow, this is such an opportunity for my flesh. However, what does God have to say to me about this? Let me go be with him. Let me go consult him.
Well,
so I think we have potential to be either one.
Absolutely.
Any day.
Absolutely.
Any moment.
Any minute. Going back to your point about Saul, that's such a good point mm-hmm. because that's going to come back and bite the nation of Israel.
Right.
Because Haman in the book of Esther is descendant from that line of people,
mm-hmm.
from the Amalekites.
Right.
And boy, doesn't he have the same murderous threat,
yes.
wants to kill everyone.
Yeah. We don't think about it that way. We don't think about one decision spreading into our future. But there's
so
a reason
true.
Why God says what he says.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something I've looked at in David's life, and I noticed a lot of rejection. He knows the sting of being left out.
Mm.
He's not Samuel's first choice for king. Mm. He's not his father's first choice. He doesn't even call him to the sacrifice. Mm. When his brother meets him on the battlefield and Goliath is screaming, his brother is not happy for mm-hmm. a friend or a brother. You know, he's angry. Why did you come down? Why did you leave the sheep? I know the naughtiness of your heart. That certainly was in David's
I'm
heart.
I know, I'm reading that.
This is such a scathing rebuke in 2 Samuel 17. Goliath disdains him.
Mm-hmm.
Saul, with his javelin, disdains him. Merab, Saul's oldest daughter, was supposed to marry David. She marries someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Here's David standing by all of this. Nabal, he doesn't get invited to Nabal's party. When he lives with the Philistines for a while with Achish, he doesn't get invited to the battle. the mighty men. Ziklag is taken and they want to stone him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing when your friends are mad at you. It's another when they're talking about killing
That's
you.
That's so true.
You know, putting a banana in your tailpipe and letting you just go. Unbelievable. His wife, Michal, mm-hmm. rejected him and his son, Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
And we see David pouring his heart out yes. in the Psalms, but not being bitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I love about him.
Mm.
He doesn't complain about this. He doesn't brag about his own victories.
Mm-hmm.
He never talked about Goliath.
Mm.
But he doesn't also be bitter and whine and complain mm. about people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jesus was rejected also.
Yes, yes.
Why is David's occupation as a shepherd prophetic? Well, in Isaiah 53:3, Jesus was despised and also rejected of men,
mm.
a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
Mm.
He was despised and we esteemed him not. He mm-hmm. was rejected by the priests, also by his brothers, by his enemies, by Judas, by the disciples, by the nation of Israel. Rome rejected him. His closest friend, Peter, and even his father rejected
wow.
him on the cross.
Wow. It's so true. And, you know, I love these instances you're mentioning, Michelle, because it's almost as though every time an intimacy was viewed between David and God, he was hated more.
Mm.
You know, like I think about Michal saying, like, wow, you looked like such a fool dancing. Mm. And he was saying, I was honoring the Lord. There was so much joy in my heart. You know, it's okay with me if you don't look at that the same way, you know, just such security in the Lord.
Mm.
And I just think about that, you know, especially in reference to the earlier message from Pastor Stevens, like, it's just so true that we have no idea what's coming our way in our life. You know, we have no idea. And if it stopped there and it was just up to us to figure it out, which some of us do anyway, then it would be very hopeless. Life would have no meaning. We would always be confused. We would always be discouraged. But I almost feel like there's this picture of Christ sitting in the boat with us and he just has his hands out asking for the oars. Like every day, it's not just a one-time momentary decision, but it's because we keep returning to this place where we don't want to be in that vulnerability. You know, he just gently asks, are you willing to give me the oars today? Because I can direct you. I do know the way.
Very good.
You know, but I think it's something that we have to really ask ourselves, you know, and just say, what is preventing me? You know, Pastor James Bryson at the Edgewood Church yesterday, he was saying, it's amazing how much as Christians we have to unlearn in our faith because there's so much tie that we have to cultural understanding or, you know, maybe even a last name pride. There's so many things that we're tied to and we don't realize until we're hindered in our walk. You know, something's missing or we want to go deeper. But we keep fellowshipping with the wrong things. We keep fellowshipping just like Saul with, wait a minute, do you know who I am? Yes, I know who you are. But I'm insignificant, not through my eyes. But I come from a background of this. I know why you're here. You know, it's like Christ has this answer for us ongoingly where he says, I want you to gaze at me and break the fellowship with whatever your past is.
So good.
But it's an ongoing battle. And we need this example of David so badly to say, man, like he was just so focused on God. Even when he would deviate and stray and make some really poor decisions, he would just be so transparent through his confessions. And I remember really realizing that when I was in college and just being on my knees in a dorm room and being relieved that I could read a psalm that was really reflective of how I felt because it wasn't joyous and, oh, I'm just praising the Lord through my problem. Like, I love the relatability between David and, like you said, the rejection he felt, the sadness that he felt. And to me, it showed me that I was allowed to feel that way as a Christian. And I was still considered somebody who believed in God. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I think we're not allowed to say, God, you know, I feel lost and I don't trust you right now. Help my unbelief.
Sure.
You know, but those verses are there for a reason.
Sure.
You know,
it hurts not getting invited to a party.
Mm-hmm.
When the prodigal son came home, his dad rolled out the red carpet
right.
and his elder brother refused to even go in.
Mm-hmm.
And David could have done that.
Right.
He could have stayed with the sheep and say, oh, yeah, forget it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm an afterthought.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I'm an also, I'm a, you know, has been. And he could have missed out on the anointing.
Yes.
What do we miss out on when we refuse to humble ourselves, take it on the chin, and go forward? And with all of David's failures, which they're going to talk about later on in the week, he did not listen to his own thoughts.
Right.
His heart was after God.
Yes. Amen.
Now, we're going to focus during the week on him as a warrior, a king, and a psalmist. Mm. And I believe all the seeds of these future calls were sown in his youthful days as a shepherd. He was a warrior as a shepherd.
Yes.
And that servant, you know, testifies to it. He killed a bear and a lion. I'm not wanting to go up against a bear and a lion.
No,
I have trouble with spiders. You know, if I can throw a big dictionary on top of them and wait till my husband gets home, fine. But I read about these African shepherds. Not only would they have a sling like David had, they would have a spear, but one of their most important tools was a small, sharp stick.
Okay.
About the size of a pencil, sharpened on both ends.
Okay.
And if a lion came, they would punch him in the mouth.
Oh, wow.
Turn their hand so that that stick kept his jaws open.
Wow.
Yeah. If you could get to the point where you
could
punch him.
I am going to lift up my fist. I am.
But I saw a YouTube video of these young shepherds doing this in Africa. It was incredible. Punch, turn, and jerk up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they train to do this. God bless them. A bear is so big.
I know.
Over you.
I know.
Yeah.
But I love this because look at these moments where David's faith is just built so strongly, you know. And it really, when I looked at the story, when I reread the story of him facing Goliath, I just kept thinking that David's faith was so focused not on himself. He just kept fellowshipping with the thought, God can do this. God can do this.
I love that.
Everybody else was focused on David. You can't do this. Look at you. You can't even fit in this armor. You know, I'm sure his brothers had an insecurity that he was going to make them look completely like fools, even in his young age.
Sure.
But his focus was on what God could do. And he had these moments, kind of like these memorials in his mind of how God had been there before.
Yes.
Even when this trial was humongous and very deadly and could have totally wiped him out.
Absolutely.
You know, but I love that he was not focused on Goliath and he wasn't focused on the whisperings of everyone else. He just kept fellowshipping with the thought, God can do this.
Amen. Well, is Jesus also a warrior? We don't see him on his earthly life in the Gospels, but just go to Revelation 19, and he's coming back on a horse.
Amen.
And he is in full battle regalia. Mm-hmm. Seeing our Savior as a warrior is coming for the battle of Armageddon.
Wow. Wow.
Was David a king as a shepherd boy? Well, you're ruling over these sheep with a perspective that only the shepherd king can have.
Mm-hmm.
Us sheep, our perspective is so limited.
Right.
We see each other's fronts and behinds, and that's about it.
Right.
But the shepherd has perspective on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus and the training? Moses went through that same training.
Yeah, maybe the title of king wasn't quite there because the development of the character was still taking place, so that by the time you do put on that position, God has done so much in your heart and your thinking has transformed so much, and now you can add to that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is Jesus a king? Well, in Matthew 2:2, he's under 2 years old and the wise men are saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" I read this book on Jim Collins, has written many books about business, and he describes a level 5 leader, and Jesus, of course, David, of course, and I believe our pastor, Pastor Schaller. I'll just read you two of the qualifications: a deep personal sense of humility.
Absolutely.
All three.
Wow.
A laser-like focus on the organization's purpose. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All three. Jesus was focused. You know, he set his face like a flint. The zeal consumed him. David, even as a kid, you know, is focused. He's out on the hills singing and playing his lute to his sheep, you know, or whatever the instrument he had. Did Jesus sing? Well, yeah, after the Last Supper on the first day of Passover, Mark and Matthew both testify when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Wow. That must have been an incredibly spiritual and beautiful time.
Yes.
But here's the point. Use your free time wisely.
Yes.
God has sown seeds. God sowed all these seeds in David's life when he was a shepherd.
Yes.
Did he go back to being a shepherd? No.
Mm.
Those were building blocks.
Right.
You know, there are some things we've gone through in college as single women.
Absolutely.
We're not going back.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've had already other seasons passed through my life. I taught third grade for 8 years. I homeschooled for 22. Am I going back? Oh, Lord Jesus, no.
All right. I'm still there. So please encourage me.
You'll make it. But, you know, it's so good to have someone cut the path before us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
And David, I just really cannot get over this young man. He's not laying on a rock somewhere working on his tan. You know, he's watching the sheep. He's he's practicing with that sling because you don't hit Goliath with one stone.
Right.
Without a little bit of practice.
Right.
You know, you don't get called to the palace. Can you imagine you're called to sing at the White House?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, no matter who's president, it's an honor. Right? It's an honor.
It is. Right.
So he gets called to the palace to sing and play. He's a kid.
I know.
But where did all this happen when he was a shepherd, when he was a kid?
Wow. But you know, I love that picture, Michelle, because I think it really reminds us that we are the ones that like to add all these complications into a lot of our thoughts and situations.
Sure.
Christ is very simple. You know, believe on me, confess your sins, let me carry the burden, remain in fellowship with me. He's very simple. He just wants ongoing fellowship with us. But we have all these things that just keep getting in the way. And I love when we see the simplicity of David, you know, like think about how much his heart was not cluttered with all of these different distractions.
What a beautiful thing to say.
Yeah. Like today, if God wants me to tend to these sheep, then I'm just going to have a heart that's open to hearing his voice and I'm going to deliver on what he's called me to do. And we can see those things and say, oh, this is a waste of time. I'm trying to get over here, you know, or this is a goal that I have. I want to reach it by this time. And maybe along the way, like you said, we're missing out because really we're trying to follow our plan and just say, God, you know, walk alongside me, but I don't want to walk behind you, you know.
Monique has a great comment on Facebook.
Hi.
She says, God knows we are sheep. We would not choose that which is best, and we will always be led astray.
Yes.
So we've been given a shepherd to watch and care for us. Mm-hmm. Beautiful comment. Thank you.
Yes. And just like David, you know, we just need to receive it. You know, we don't need to sit there and rise up about why we're not this, why we're not that. If God has spoken and God makes no mistakes, then surely we need to be trying to figure out more of what he's saying rather than thinking about what we have to say.
Beautiful.
You know.
I love that David was anointed king in front of his whole family, and he went back to tending the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it didn't even happen.
I know.
Like the next morning after the party, they're cleaning up the dishes, and they're like, David, where did that, what did that mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Samuel's losing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a king. We have King Saul.
Right.
We have a great comment from Aretta on YouTube. She said, amen and amen. King David, a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, and the bishop of our soul.
Wow. Amen.
She also points out he goes after the one sheep that was lost.
Yes.
And some of us might say, well, it's not too much trouble.
Mm.
It's too much trouble. Let's not. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
If you had $100 bills,
mm.
and you dropped one,
mm-hmm.
would you not stop and pick it up?
Mm.
You would. Come on. It's valuable. If you took 100 kids
right
on a field
trip
and you only lost one, worst. Would you come home and say, hey, we did good, only 1%.
I know.
You know, we only lost one.
Absolutely
but
not.
But to the family whose child you lost, mm-hmm. and that's how Jesus feels.
Yes.
You know, he knows us all. He loves us. He recognizes us as his sheep.
Yes.
We're all incredibly valuable to him.
Yes. And let's not limit our perspective, Michelle. You know, sometimes we forget we are here for an eternal purpose. Mm. And so everything that we go through, everything that God's preparing us for, whether it feels very mundane, foolish, useless, confusing, God is a God of purpose. He never does anything just because, you know, and sometimes we won't understand his ways. But if we keep reminding ourselves of his character, then that will get us past those humps where we start to doubt, where that Saul in us starts to rise up and say, who, me? It must not be me. Or when we hear praises coming about somebody else and we start comparing ourselves like Saul, you know, we want to say, no, I want everyone saying that about me, you know. And Jesus wants to be the one voice that we can hear beyond the crowd, beyond the insecurities, beyond the questions, that just says, I love you. Come and sit at my feet.
Beautiful ending to our episode today.
Thank you,
Jasmine.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. And thank all of you for listening. We love you so much. Thank you for your ongoing support. We truly hope you were blessed today. Please enjoy the remainder of the week learning about David. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we'll be right back here next month. Until then, enjoy everyone tomorrow and in the days following. God bless you all. Love you.